Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are going through a conference message that was given by Dallin H. Oaks, a member of the First Presidency in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He gave this on April 7, 2019. It was titled Cleansed by Repentance, and you can find it in the May edition of Ensign 2019. It begins on page 91. Today, we continue looking at this talk, and we begin this show by looking at the third column on page 92.
He said, to be cleansed by repentance, we must forsake our sins and confess them to the Lord and to his moral judge where required. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, verse 43.
Now, let's look at section 58:43, because this is, in a capsulated way, the definition of repentance according to Mormonism.
This is what verses 42 and 43 say. Behold, he who has repented of his sins, the same is forgiven, and I, the Lord, remember them no more. By this ye may know if a man repenteth of his sins. Behold, he will confess them and forsake them.
Okay, so are we to assume in reading that passage in the way that it's been described by leaders such as Dallin Oaks and other leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that it's merely talking about confessing some sins and forsaking some sins? Have you ever heard, Eric, any Mormon leader in General Conference qualify D&C 58:43 as merely speaking of some sins? Or is that to be understood that if a Mormon hopes to truly repent, it means confessing all of his sins and abandoning or forsaking all of his sins?
And I think you know what the answer is. Obviously, no leader has ever said some. It's always been all. Let me give you a citation out of a church manual called Doctrine and Covenants, Student Manual Religion 324 and 325. And this was published in 2001, page 120. It cites D&C 58, 42, and 43, and says, the Lord promises complete forgiveness to those who truly repent. The Lord forgives those who truly repent of their sins. This blessing comes through the atonement of Christ, who suffered for all that they might not suffer if they would repent. D&C 19:16. The Lord promises that he will no more remember the sins of those who repent. Repentance, however, requires that we forsake and turn completely from our sin and confess them. So I think very clearly the idea that you have to keep all of the commandments, and when you repent, you can't repeat those sins again.
Oakes goes on to say, we need to partake of the sacrament each Sabbath day. In that ordinance, we make covenants and receive blessings that help us overcome all acts and desires that block us from the perfection our Savior invites us to achieve. And then he cites, in parentheses, Matthew 5:48, which of course is the famous verse that Mormons love to always quote when Christians talk to them about grace. But Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Interesting that Dallin Oaks cites Matthew 5:48 after making that comment. The question, of course, then becomes, folks, are Mormons as perfect as their Father in heaven is perfect? Is that really what Jesus was saying? Was he talking about sinless perfection in that particular passage? I would argue no. He was merely talking about how God behaves towards those who are believers and unbelievers, how he is just with both, and he's merely telling us to be the same. He's not saying that we are to be sinlessly perfect as our Father in heaven is sinlessly perfect, because we will never be sinlessly perfect as our Father in heaven is sinlessly perfect.
So not only does he cite from Matthew 5:48, but he also cites Moroni 10:32-33. He says this, as we deny ourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all our might, mind, and strength, then we may be perfect in Christ and be sanctified through the shedding of his blood to become holy without spot. And then, after he cites that from Moroni 10, he has these words to say. What a promise. What a miracle. What a blessing.
The miracle would be, Mr. Oakes, if anybody could meet that requirement, which I don't even think he is doing. So it would be a miracle if somebody was to do that. But no Latter-day Saint is doing that. Here's what certainly separates Mormonism from Christianity. When he talks about how we have to deny ourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all our might, mind, and strength, that sounds great, but you know what? Who on a daily basis, 24/7, loves God with all their might, mind, and strength? I know I struggle with that. And if that was the requirement for my justification, then I would definitely fall short. But then he says, then we may be perfect in Christ. Again, this is where Mormonism diverges from Christianity. Our perfection is already in Christ, based on the fact that by our faith in what Jesus did for us, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. It's called the doctrine of imputation, something that I find Mormons rarely talk about. In fact, I can't even recall the last time a Mormon leader talked about the imputation of Christ's righteousness. Why don't they talk about that? Because what Dallin Oaks has just said refutes the doctrine of the imputation of Christ's righteousness. You become perfect in Christ by your personal performance as a Latter-day Saint, not because of your faith in what Christ did for you, and in turn, he giving you that righteousness that's necessary.
In Romans 4, at the very beginning, it talks about Abraham being justified by faith. And verse 3 says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And Bill, I just want to point out, when he quotes from Moroni chapter 10 and talks about this being a great promise, miracle, and blessing, he quotes a lot of the parts there, but he doesn't quote it exactly. And I just want to make one key word note, because he does not use the word if. He says, as we deny ourselves of all ungodliness. Actually, what the passage says is, says, if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. And Bill, what I see what he's saying here, though, is the same thing, that if you deny yourselves of this ungodliness, then you may be perfect in Christ. So it's going to take work on the Latter-day Saints' part to be able to earn God's grace. And that's completely contrary to what the Bible teaches.
Well, you just remind me of something, because when he says earlier in this talk that we need to overcome all acts and desires that block us from the perfection our Savior invites us to achieve, when he uses the word invites, that sounds pretty nice. That sounds non-threatening. But could Dallin Oaks have inserted, instead of the word invites, the word demands?
Yeah.
Because I would argue that according to Mormonism, that's exactly what the Savior demands. All acts and desires that block us from the perfection our Savior demands us to achieve, especially when he's citing Matthew 5:48 to bolster what he just said.
And then that word achieve, there's the difference, because in Mormonism, it's based on you denying yourselves of all ungodliness, you loving God with all your might, mind, and strength. It's not based on the grace. It's backwards. In Christianity, the grace comes, and then you receive that freely, not based on what you do. The grace is sufficient for you, but not based on what you did, based on what Jesus did.
He goes on to say, one purpose of God's plan for this mortal experience is to, quote-unquote, prove us. To, quote, see if we will do all things whatsoever the Lord our God shall command us, citing from Abraham 3:5. Going back to what was said earlier, that the doctrine of repentance is a joy and not a burden. And then he says, one purpose of God's plan for this mortal experience is to prove us to see if we will do all things whatsoever the Lord our God shall command us. Does that bring you a lot of joy, Eric?
No, not at
all. I'm supposed to do all the things that the Lord shall command us. Now, if 1 Nephi 3:7 is telling us the truth, There's nothing that the Mormon God commands the Mormon to do that he should not be able to do it. But are Latter-day Saints doing all this? Are they doing whatsoever the Lord, their God, commands them to do? I would argue, no, they're not. And it's very simple to find out if the Mormon you're talking to is doing that. Merely ask them, do you repent? If they say yes, it means that they do struggle with doing everything the Lord their God commands them to do. If they could do it, there would be no need for them to repent. And that's the problem with this whole contradiction in Mormon theology. You're supposed to be cleansed by your repentance, but yet your repentance is merely a means of showing to yourself that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
That's what repentance is all about. It's recognizing that you failed in abiding by God's revealed law. So it truly, if you are always repenting, you're basically not doing what you're supposed to be doing in Mormonism, and that is keeping all of the commandments. Let me cite this, Eric. He goes on to say, is a person worthy of a recommend to attend the temple? Has a person whose name was removed from the records of the church repented sufficiently through the atonement of Jesus Christ to be readmitted by baptism? Now, I find this kind of strange. Is a person worthy of a recommend to attend the temple? The Mormon Church claims that it is a restoration of how the Christian Church was operating anciently. Do you really think for a moment that there was somebody in the early Christian Church that was taking interviews in order to give a temple recommend? First of all, the Christians weren't even in charge of the temple. They weren't even in charge of the temple. The Jews were in charge of the temple. What do you think? They just went in and said, hey, could we borrow your temple for a few minutes here? We've got a few people that, let's say, want to be baptized for the dead. Of course, that never happened. There was nobody in the early Christian church interviewing potential patrons to see if they qualified to attend the temple. In fact, even the Jews understood that the reason you were going to the temple was because you knew you were unworthy and sacrifice had to be made because of your unworthiness. So this whole portion that he talks about here, Eric, certainly isn't in line with Christian history. Tomorrow, we're going to continue our look at this talk given by Dallin Oaks titled Cleansed by Repentance.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.